It is August 14th, 2023. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast. Oh, you got that ginger lime, that polar like mule.
Yeah.
It's good, man. We had that stuff at your bachelor party. It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, thank you guys for tuning in on this lovely Monday evening here in Atlanta or in the greater Atlanta area, wherever you guys are watching or listening to us. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley, over there on the other side of the screen from me. Yeah, it's good to be back. Dan unfortunately couldn't join us tonight. I don't even remember, but I miss you, Dan. I wish you would join. I wish you would hop in. We got Josh Pagranski, Josh P in the trap. We got Richard Gordon, the faithful, coming in.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot like we never left. It's been we should have put that in the intro, but I think we would have got what is it? The DMC stuff.
It's not going to be demonetized because that's
not at all.
Business as usual here.
Yeah, I don't think we meet the threshold for monetization on YouTube. So all good there. We got Jay Henneball and Brittany S in the trap. Yeah, Brittany S saying we signed some people. We did, and I feel like that's about all we have to talk about outside of. Am I boring you, Kevin?
No, the recent run of form by Atlanta United has been boring, but
that's fair.
There's some bright spots though, and hopefully we'll see it pan out into something. But man, gotta applaud Miami for just selling out for goals, man. Just racking.
Dude,
them
no
up.
Kidding. Yeah, why not? Why not? You know, they're absolutely crushing it.
I mean, that's the excited soccer that everybody and Atlanta faithful was wanting to see, right? Just even though they're having to go to PKs 4-4 and 6-6 matches, they're coming out winning more times than they're losing, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Landon Schultz in the trap saying, and Messi is great. Who knew? You know what? Like, I feel like myself included, and maybe I'm just projecting onto other people, I think people really did forget that although he's 35 years old, maybe 36 now. I know he's born in 87 like me. He's still in his prime. And I think he struggled a little bit with PSG. And I don't know if that was just settling in or whatever, but it took him a while, I felt like, to get going. But what does he have, 8 goals in 5 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Leagues Cup.
And making it look really easy in the process.
Yeah. It's kind of stupid, right? Like, it's really stupid. And the fact that, like, he's turning, like, Robert Taylor. You know, I went on Fan TV a couple weeks ago. I think it was after the match against Atlanta United. And it was, like, it's just another Lewis Morgan. Another left wing from, another left wing on Miami that just kills us. And, yeah, I don't know. He's making everybody around him better. Everybody's freaking out that he's given Joseph the penalty kicks, too.
What do you mean?
But no, just freaking out like how humble and like how good of a teammate he is by letting Joseph take the PKs and all that stuff. But I mean, it's been fun to watch. I don't know. I wonder if they're going to come crashing down to earth at any point. Seems kind of hard
to
tell.
Man. It seems like MLS is their ladder to climb. You know, it's just funny. The memes have been great. Just, are you above the age of 35 and used to play for Barcelona? Come on in.
Yeah, exactly. Because is Luis Suarez next?
I saw something because I think he's a free agent now, or he's in.
Oh yeah, he is.
Early or something like that. And I guess somebody asked him about it. He's like, no, nobody's called me. I'm not looking to make that move. But yeah, of course, there's been the questions about whether or not he's going to do it or not. I saw big rumor that somebody in MLS was going to try to really go for an Mbappe deal. I don't know if it was one of those.
Yeah, I think that was all shithousery, man. It's ridiculous. No, did you not see that? There were actually, are you just making that up? Because there actually were reports that, like,
MLS... I definitely saw it and laughed hysterically at the notion that somebody was going to possibly manage to swing that with him in his prime, you know?
Yeah. It's, I don't think that's happening. That's been a real saga, that whole Mbappe and PSG thing. And then they finally, I think, came to terms, and he's staying there for at least another year. But yeah, it's silly season's been ridiculous. As a Liverpool fan, it's been really hard. I don't know if you've kept up or seen any of the reports. So I don't know. Liverpool really need a number six. They like more than Atlanta United does. And we came to an agreement with Brighton, highest transfer fee ever for a player in the EPL. And then he didn't want to play for us. He wanted to play for Chelsea. So Chelsea ended up buying him. And then we had another guy, Romeo Lavia. That was Moises Caicedo, who apparently was linked with Atlanta United a few years ago. Go figure. And then this guy, Romeo Lavia, this 19-year-old center defense mid from Belgium who plays for Southampton, was reportedly going to come to Liverpool too, and he's going to Chelsea too. Somehow Todd Boehly, like, I don't understand it. They've spent something like £1 billion in the past year, but somehow aren't, like, in financial fair play, in like danger of breaching. I don't understand how all that's working, because it's ridiculous. Anyway, we had our own like silly season, like last day of the window for Atlanta United. Was it all three happened in the last day?
Yeah.
Just to go through it, I think Jamal Tiari was the first. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And then Zonde Silva. And then I feel like our marquee signing, our DP, Saba Lobjanidze. I don't know. Saba?
Not trying.
I think he was the last one to officially get signed. But it's like injecting new life into the team. And we really haven't talked. We haven't broadcasted since the League's Cup exit.
Yeah.
And I think the big positive from that game was just how good Tristan Mbeumo looked.
That was a breath of fresh air in the midfield that we have. And again, extremely small sample size here, but one game in, he looked silky smooth with the ball on his feet.
Oh yeah.
And on, like, in stride, under pressure, with space, like, it just throughout the entire match, I felt like he, aside from Almada, I felt like he was the real standout performer in that match.
No, I agree with you completely. Like, he looked very comfortable. Like, he kind of had magnet feet.
Yeah.
I felt like he had really good, tight, close control over the ball whenever he was on it. He looks very comfortable. And
I've been known to say the same thing about Moreno at one point or another, I'm sure. So,
hey, Moreno always did. He never like lost the ball. Like he lost the ball from like holding on to it too long. I don't think he really lost the ball from, I don't know. I still kind of miss Moreno, but he's also very frustrating in a lot of ways. But I think that, yeah, I mean, I feel like Mbeumo is, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but he looks every bit the midfielder that we need.
Yeah.
Right? Like his ability to...
Just say it.
Oh, the Nagby replacement?
Yeah. Just say it. Just say what you want to say.
I don't think we're there. I don't think we're there yet. No, we're not there yet. So we could be looking at, what, 5 brand new players in the starting 11? If you go back to the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and luckily they've all had a month to really gel and train together, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, I've never used one of these lineup generators before, and I guess probably not worth doing right now while we're on the show. But it seems like we're going to have 2 new wingers starting on either side of Giakoumakis, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would think, Zonde Silva is going to be on the left, and then Saba is going to be on the right, and then Thiago Almada behind them, Mayumba, and then I'm guessing Sadic, or I don't even know who goes next to Mayumba there, but
I would think Sadic probably a lock there.
Yeah. And then you have, you know, you're back, I guess back four, but I don't know.
Also, we had a marquee departure, just as much as we've had some marquee signings. Eric Lopez.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I completely forgot about that. Like, who did we sell? No, we mutually
agreed to
mutually terminated a contract. And it just like was, it felt like such a sting because it happened after Franco Ibarra was forced to go above north of the border. I was like, okay, I'm going to fuck you guys over. I don't really think that his camp did that, but like, because you're only allowed to have one buyout per season, right? And who did we buy out at the beginning of the year?
I can't remember.
Anyway, it feels like so long ago. But yeah, I mean, you're looking at our back line stays the same. Miles Robinson is apparently linked with, I think it's PSV Eindhoven in the Netherlands. So probably a free transfer or free signing in December, whenever MLS season ends. I think our back line probably stays untouched, but then you're looking at like five out of the six in front, or no. Yeah. No, four out of the remaining six up front that are relatively new, right? Yeah. Cause you have, yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. Brittany is completely jogging my memory. It was just Martinez who we bought out.
That's right. Cause he had what, like 2 years left on his deal?
Something like that. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm feeling a little more hopeful. I haven't seen a ton of footage of either of the players. I've seen some Zonde Silva.
I take all that footage with a grain of salt anyway, man. It's highly
fair.
Like, unless you're following them regularly and know what their performance is week in and week out, it's impossible to try to gauge what a player is going to really do based on a 4-minute clipped highlight reel, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. So we had a scrimmage against St. Louis SC on, what was that, Saturday?
Did we? Yeah. I didn't even know that.
It was a behind-closed-door scrimmage, which is interesting because that was the last preseason match that we had leading into the season, was a closed-door scrimmage against St. Louis, which we won. It was a 3-3 match. I think Zonde Silva had two assists. Everything's behind a paywall, so it's kind of hard to see. Let's see. Zonde Silva, I know, had two assists, and I don't know. Seems hopeful. So
yeah, for sure.
And they posted a video of him today at training. So
It's been weird just having to follow the Messi highlight trail basically over the past couple weeks because I've not really. I know that you've watched more of Leagues Cup than I have.
Oh, dude, the Nashville match was insane because I turned it on. Like, I think I was on Twitter. I wasn't paying attention. I don't know what I was doing, but I went on to Twitter and they're like, X. I'm sorry. I went to X and I saw that. Dude, all those Degeneration X memes, that reels that pop up on Instagram are just the best. Somebody had posted a video of Dax McCarty scoring in like the 98th minute with 5 minutes of stoppage time, but to tie it and send it to penalties. And then I ended up watching, I turned on the penalties. It was like 4-4. And then Club America scores. And then Maher misses his or gets it saved. And I was like, okay, whatever. Club America came back. They won, or they won the match or whatever. I turned it off. Fireworks go off in my neighborhood. So that was hilarious. And then lo and behold, I completely missed all the pandemonium that happened afterwards where the goalkeeper was off his line and then Nashville got to retake and then Club America missed and Nashville hit, whatever. They're in the semifinals now, right? Where are we at? We have Nashville and Philly and then
Miami and
Monterey.
I couldn't remember. I knew it was split with an M. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. So Philadelphia plays Miami and Monterey plays Nashville. And I'm very heartened. And you and I talked about this at dinner the other night about you know, just the success of MLS in this tournament.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it makes a huge difference. You know, we talk about it almost every year, it seems like, about how imbalanced CONCACAF is, because you've got one set of participants that are in mid-season form and another that aren't even in preseason form really at that point in time, and you're assuming that you're going to get the best result out of that mix, and it's just impossible versus something like this where both leagues are sort of head-to-head at, well, I guess it's kind of flipped in this sense, right? Because I don't know where
Liga, I think there are four matches into the season right now. Hold on.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the table right now. Yeah, three matches in. Yeah.
Yeah, so similar thing, right? Like, you see how much of a difference it makes for an entire league to be mid-season form versus another that's literally just getting started in their season, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the results are you've got three of the top four out of the team that's had longer to prepare for it, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
It has to travel less.
Yeah. No, that's true too. Philly's playing. They're playing up in Philly. It sold out in 8 minutes, the match against Messi.
Wow.
And then Monterey is playing at Nashville at Chiodos Park. So Chiodos Park. They open up with I don't even remember what the fucking Chiodos songs were.
Oh, maybe you wouldn't last a minute on the crease.
Yeah. So every time, at the beginning of the match, they play that. No, instead they play some sort of Judah and the Lion song. So it's been fun. It's been kind of like pandemonium, but it's, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it happening every year because I think it's a good exercise.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's interesting to contrast it with the CONCACAF thing at the beginning. It's like you open up the season with that, middle of the season you've got Leagues Cup, and then, you know,
yeah,
it's a good rotation. Yeah.
And I almost wonder if like CONCACAF takes a look at the success that MLS is having and the lack of success that they've had, or the success they've had in spite of the schedule. I guess in the case of like what Seattle won or CONCACAF Champions League, I wonder if CONCACAF looks at that and they're like, maybe we can get a more competitive competition if we kind of push it a little bit further in terms of start times and or start whatever the first matches and get like a more compelling product on the field as opposed to kind of what happens now. But again, kind of shocked, but also heartened by the fact that, you know, I think Monterey, it's going to be Monterey versus Miami, I think, in the final. And I think that's going to be a huge, huge, huge game.
So there's no qualifying for Leagues Cup, right?
No, I think everybody was in it, right?
Right. So that's the other thing too, is you've got a much bigger sample size in that versus Champions League too.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it kind of adds more parity to it too, right? Because you're talking about, I mean, the group stages aren't necessarily even like, you know, our traditional group stages. You know, it's three teams and two advance. So like there's a lot more chance for parity. Obviously, like we drew the shit end of the stick getting Messi that early.
I don't think it mattered when we got him, honestly, the way Atlanta's been playing.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Like, it's just, would it have mattered if we played him now? I mean, it's not like the team's really gelling. And we've got these new players and stuff like that, but that doesn't excuse the fact that that Miami game isn't what got Atlanta booted out of contention. Like, Atlanta still had a chance to move on in advance, aside from the result against Miami, you know,
yeah.
And they still couldn't do it. So,
yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Not beating Cruz Azul is kind of tough.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
That's what I mean. It's, you're literally playing the worst team in their league and you can't put that away just to give yourself a shot at it. Like, it's got nothing to do with Messi, you know?
I mean, to be fair, I have thrown that around too, that they're the worst team in Liga MX and that they're like, winless, but it's only three matches in.
Oh, you're right.
It could be, Seattle type situation. So Speaking of which, we're still a little less than a week away. We have a Sunday match coming up this Sunday, where we travel to Lumen Field up in, it used to be CenturyLink, right?
Anyway. I thought I saw something on my calendar about a game on Monday. Does your calendar have a match on Monday against Seattle?
Seattle's the 20th.
I've got it on my calendar for the 21st for some reason. It's on both days. Oh, never mind. I'm an idiot. It's because it starts at 10:30 a.m. or 10:30 p.m. on Sunday and ends at 1:30 a.m. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
Gotcha. We have Elliot Beaven in the trap. What's up, buddy? How's it going?
Late night.
Yeah, not talking to Elliot right now because he's a Chelsea fan. But the oh my god, yeah, Sunday night match ends at after midnight.
I will not be watching that. I'll be in bed before it even kicks. Like, it's not happening.
That's rough. That's real rough.
I'll watch it in the gym Monday morning. Close enough.
So that's our first match coming back. And honestly, so I guess a couple of things wanted to get your thoughts on because Gonzalo Pineda, hot seat, no hot seat. How are you feeling about that?
See how the rest of the season pans out. I don't think it's happening before the end of the season, no matter what happens.
No, that's fair. I don't think
if he can write the ship with these new signings and at least get into the second round of playoffs, I think everybody will say, okay, there's some positive starting to peek through here. The downside is that you're going to lose Almada next year. You're going to lose Robinson next year. You're going to lose so much going into next season. It's going to be tough to see what happens, but I mean, he certainly got the pieces to make a salvageable run. I mean, you're not in bad position. What are we sitting sixth right now in the East?
Seventh.
So yeah, we're just
and almost everybody except Nashville ahead of us has a game in hand on us too. So
yeah, but it's only like what, 4 or 5 points separating like third through seventh or something like
that.
So
it's five between third and seventh. Yeah.
So, and there's still what, 10 games left to be played?
Yeah. We have 10 matches left. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot that can happen in those last 10 games. And if you can really come on strong, climb up to, you know, fourth, maybe even third, get a good position to advance and then maybe get a home match for one of those rounds and get a run at the playoffs. Like Atlanta can really make a go at this thing. They're not out of it. And they've got pieces there. A month off, hopefully Giakoumakis is healthy. I mean, he's been struggling of late. I mean, pretty much all season, to be honest. I don't think that he's on the hot seat right now. Should he go 1-9 or 2-5-3? I could see him certainly being on the hot seat. But yeah, I don't.
I had to do the math there.
I had to take on the last number to make sure I had the math right.
Because you could really be looking at 2-0 to hero type situations with him and Bocanegra. Because I don't know how much input Pineda has when it comes to transfers, but you know, everybody's calling for Bocanegra's head. We needed signings. You know, we left it really late. And you know, a lot of people I think were justifiably mad, like, you said we would have 2-3 signings. You said we would have 2-3 signings. And finally, they all kind of waterfalled at the end. And, you know, if they do pan out, he could be looking more like a genius. And we could be sitting here looking and wondering how much of that was Darren Eales versus Bocanegra before Eales went to Newcastle. So, I tend to like to give the benefit of the doubt unless it's in the moment. In the moment, you know, I'm not very forgiving because, you know, after that Miami match, I really felt like
burn it down.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing to lose to Cruz Azul on PKs, but like just the drubbing we got against Miami was just, tough to stomach. It was super tough to stomach.
It really was. And in the manner that it's like, really, guys, like you're not going to put a body on Messi of all players.
Oh yeah, Sosa. Just watch him.
Sosa just bum rushing in there to try to make a play with a shoulder and then just completely just let him walk away. Like, just that I made my stance. I made my impact known. I'm not really actually here playing the ball or playing, you know, for any other reason but to make a statement against you as an individual, and just let him walk back around to back post, you know, completely unchecked, unfazed. Like,
yeah. Ugh. So they have, it's interesting, they have 12 matches to play, and right now they're talking about Miami. They're 12 points off the play-in, I guess. So it might be tough for them.
You think they make it?
Yeah, I do. I think they go undefeated and destroy everybody so long as everybody stays healthy.
Yeah.
And I think they win MLS Cup. Like, dude,
I think the biggest thing that's going to be their downfall is, like I said, they've sold out to score goals. They've got shit for defense, man. The amount of goals that they're conceding, like, yeah, they're winning games, but they are conceding a shit ton of goals on the path to get there. And they're lucky that they're getting PKs as a means to an end in League's Cup to continue advancing. So I think, what, three of their wins have come as a result of PKs? Two?
Let's see. They beat – who did they beat? They beat Dallas in penalties. I think it might have just been Dallas.
What?
They beat Orlando 3-1, beat Dallas 4-4, and then Charlotte was 4-0. They beat Charlotte.
Why did I think that they were drawing much higher than...
I don't know, but they did give up those four goals against Dallas, and they were very close to getting eliminated.
Excuse me for being an idiot, everybody. I thought for sure that they were conceding more goals than they are.
I mean, they're probably bound to, and I think there is probably a recipe out there, and I think we're going to see it from Philadelphia.
Who was I thinking has just been drawing like crazy? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But I think that, you know, if you put a ton of pressure on Sergio Busquets in the middle, I think that kind of stamps out a lot of the distribution that they're seeing, at least the start of a lot of it. Obviously, you're going to have to stop the guys up front. But I think there is a recipe. I think I think part of it was watching us get destroyed by ball watching and by star watching.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, if you don't have stars in your eyes whenever you're playing against them and you're putting pressure on them, I think you're probably, you know, a little better. It's going to pan out a little better for you.
I forget if it was the guy from Dallas. Was it the defender from Dallas or from Orlando? I forget which. I can't remember who the player was. Which just validates the whole point of his stance to the media. But the media was asking him about, you know, what his preparation was like going into the match against Miami. And he's like, you know, same thing as it always is. And then they're like, well, what do you think about playing it with Messi and yada, yada, yada. And he's like, look, let's be honest. The only reason why you guys are interviewing me right now is because he's playing in this match. Like, it's like, I'm going to go about my business as if it's just another person. Like,
yeah. And that's the way you got to go about it, man.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the way you got to go about it.
I can't believe I thought that they were conceding more than that. Maybe I was just thinking about their overall season goal concessions. I don't know. My brain ain't working.
Yeah.
You think we're going to play whenever they come to Atlanta? Because we're not switching to turf, right?
No, we're not. And can somebody please let me know if that's actually accurate or if that's just a rumor that he's not going to play on turf?
I don't think it's one way or the other. I think it's just, you know, that he's not played on turf in his career. And I don't think it's definitive one way or the other.
It's according to the Mirror, a British outlet, Messi reportedly refuses to play on artificial surfaces, which six MLS teams currently use.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. Which includes New England Revolution, Portland Timbers, Seattle Sounders, Charlotte FC, Vancouver Whitecaps, and Atlanta United. And the Colonel is saying it is a rumor. That's what I thought. Like,
yeah, but didn't they just play in Charlotte?
No, that was that in Charlotte. No, that wasn't done in Fort Lauderdale.
It was. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think until it happens,
I am just on it tonight, boy.
Yeah. I was going to say, until it happens, you don't really know, right? Like, I was going to look at the rest of their schedule to see if there's any other, when the turf matches come up. So maybe we could see before he comes to Atlanta, but
that's what I thought Charlotte was. Is Charlotte?
Let's see. Cincy, Red Bulls, LAFC, and then us. So no, he doesn't, there's not a turf match for him before Atlanta. And then the last game of the season against Charlotte. So I don't know. That could be a huge game too. That would be interesting. Let's say he does refuse to play in Atlanta because of the turf. And then last match of the season, they're fighting to get into the playoffs and they play in Charlotte. Does he play? Like,
that'd be wild.
Yeah. What if he didn't play?
Then he does play and he tears his ACL.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I don't remember who.
Like, we gotta get rid of this turf.
I feel like we have fights, I feel like, in our Slack all the time about the turf versus grass stuff. And I'm pretty sure it's our buddy Andy Watkins, like, pulls up all the stuff. It's like, there's no statistical evidence that turf is any worse for your joints. I think it comes, I don't remember who was talking about that. Maybe it was somebody at work that I was talking with about that. And they're like, that all comes from old school turf and not the stuff that's being used now.
Yeah.
Because like, as somebody with bad knees, like even playing out at Silverbacks, my knees feel so much better playing out at the playing in turf, playing on like rubber and stuff than it does playing on grass. Then again, we're playing on pretty shitty grass fields most of the time, at least growing up we were.
Right.
Good old USC Sumter, that sand pit that we played in, or dirt patch that we played in.
Sand lot, man.
Yeah, it was. Rest of the season for Atlanta United, what do we got? We have Seattle on Sunday, and then we have there's no download tonight, so I don't know what we're gonna do instead of that. Here we go. All right, so we have Seattle on Sunday, following Saturday at home against Nashville, and then at home against Cincinnati. Ugh, this is a rough stretch.
We might not make the cut.
Dude, we have Seattle away, which I tend to just think we're never going to win that away. I don't know if historically we have. I think we've only really drawn them. Or did we beat them last year at home? Was that like one of the last? Anyway, we have Seattle, we have Nashville, we have Cincinnati, we have Dallas in Dallas. Granted, it's September, so maybe it's a little cooler outside. We have Miami at home. And then we go into playing DC, and I don't even know where Montreal is in the standings, but we finish out the year. Fuck me. This schedule is so rough. Like, those two matches are like the reprieve, the matches against DC and Montreal, because then we end the season with at Philadelphia, at home against Columbus, and then at Cincinnati.
Yeah. But if we do make it with that run, that's got to make you feel real good going into playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
I mean, that's the flip side, right? Like, if you can get results with that schedule left for Atlanta,
yep,
and climb, because the other side of that is too, is like, you're playing a lot of the teams that are currently ahead of Atlanta. So your wins are counting for more.
Yeah, they're worth more. Yeah.
So, you know, if you can make a run, you can really climb higher and be in a much better position going into playoffs, that you feel much more confident in whoever you end up getting matched up against, you know?
Yeah. I really don't feel good after looking at
that. I feel great thinking about it, but if the results start happening, I feel a hell of a lot better going into playoffs. That's
no, you're right. Yeah. But like, yeah, I don't know, man.
Who's Miami got left?
Ooh, that's a good call. This is just going to become an Inter Miami podcast. And not even like cheering for them or anything like that. Just trying to keep up with what they're doing.
Well, it's going to be an interesting story to watch down the stretch, man. I mean, it's going to be just prime theater coming down the end of the season.
So they have two more matches than us, and these are their matches after Leagues Cup. So, that one's postponed against Charlotte. So Cincinnati. So that's not a guarantee. Cincinnati is leading the Supporters Shield race. New York Red Bulls away. Both Cincinnati and New York are away. Nashville at home. It's another tough game. I don't know that Red Bulls match is that tough, but LAFC away, it's a tough match. That'll be a huge spectacle.
That'll be a huge spectacle, yeah.
Kansas City, they'll probably win that against us. And then Toronto. Yeah, Toronto, winnable for sure. Orlando, NYCFC, Chicago, Cincinnati, Charlotte.
But still some tough matches in there.
Yeah, because you have Cincinnati twice, just like Cincinnati Atlanta twice, does.
Nashville.
LAFC away. Charlotte away to end the season.
Yep.
I mean, Orlando in Orlando.
That's going to be a crazy environment for sure.
No, yeah, especially given that they knocked him out of the Leagues Cup. So
that's right.
Yeah. They have kind of a tough road to hoe, I think. I bet there's got to be some sort of analysis on strength of schedule remaining, but I believe that somebody like Teotl Football probably has that, but I'd have to think that we're probably on the like bad end of that. Like that does not look great.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. So I don't know. But you're right. Like I feel like it was kind of a blessing in disguise, not going all the way through in Leagues Cup. Obviously I'd be feeling different if we were still in it, but you know, trying to look at everything with a grain of salt, or not grain of salt, but with you know, look at the silver lining of it and seeing the new players and the time that they get to integrate into the squad and get match fit. And
is Leagues Cup, as much as we just talked about how much we love it, is the MLS season becoming too bogged down with tournaments?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you look at, I don't know, look at the major leagues, right? Look at England. They play, depending on who the team is, they obviously have their EPL schedule, which is longer than ours. They have leagues, their League Cup, the Carabao Cup. They have the FA Cup. They have, and then Champions League, Europa League, Europa League Conference, whatever people are playing in. Yeah, so... I mean, you're starting off with the intention of playing at least three competitions throughout the year, even if you're bottom of the table. So it's, I mean, that's where we are, I guess, right? Because Open Cup, well, I guess this would be number four, right? MLS, Leagues Cup, CCL, and US Open Cup. So I guess it's pretty similar in schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I like it for us because I think it's more exposure. And I tend to think that we are going to see a merger at some point.
I just hate the amount of wear and tear on the players with the salary structure in MLS, to where you're so limited in the amount of talent that you can really have on the field based on salary cap to begin with. And now you're imposing more and more playtime on your teams. And I guess one way to get around that is that you're playing, you know, your B or C squad in those, but then at the same time, like you want to go after championships, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. So you're right. Like it has to be, they have to be relative to one another, right? Like, I guess as you start to scale up in competition,
that's what I'm saying,
for sure, there has to be some revenue increase that's coming from Leagues Cup, and you have to be able to like bolster what teams are able to do. Like, I mean, this league has been screaming out for at least another fourth, you know, a fourth DP slot and a couple more million in cap room. Like, I feel like that's such an easy fix for a lot of this stuff that's happened, you know, a lot of the restraints and kind of the limits that, you know, they seem artificial at this point, the limits are being placed on these teams. Because I don't think that the changes the scaling up in the CBA is commensurate with the growth of the actual league. I feel like the league is growing far quicker than the league is actually letting it, like in spite of itself almost.
Well, especially now. I mean, the explosion of fandom that's going to pour into MLS over the next 3 to 5 years after this Messi signing is going to be astronomical.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
people that are going to be, you know, the benefit is the league has grown just in the number of teams available. And while, yes, there's going to be a ton of new Inter Miami fans, there's going to be a ton of people that are going to go support their local MLS team just to go have the chance to see. I mean, look at what's happened just in Miami. I mean, it's going to happen in other cities around the league as Miami comes to play in those cities, that the who's who in town is going to be going out and buying into this culture of their MLS club supporters. And there's going to be this dearth of new fans that are going to all of a sudden be like, oh wow, I didn't know, you know, what this whole New England Revolution atmosphere was really like until I went and actually went to a game whenever Messi was in town or whatever, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think one of the things that really sucks, and we talked about it maybe the last time, was just the issue of the Saudi league taking away more guys. Like it would have been nice to be able to bring Neymar over to MLS. Like, even if he went to LA Galaxy, like if that would have happened, I would have been super happy because it's more exposure for the league. It's more revenue for the league. It's more people going into the stadiums, as you said, to watch against the opposing superstar, whether they're wanting to hop on that bandwagon or cheer for their team that they don't really know to try and stop this, you know, to stop this superstar from, you know.
What's this Atlanta third kit?
Oh, you haven't seen this? Hold on. Don't look. I'm about to show it. I'm about to present it.
No, I've not seen it.
Oh, geez. It seems like it's confirmed.
I've not been on Twitter in ages. I can't with that. I'm not a fan of that whatsoever.
Somebody typed into ChatGPT and they're like, give me graffiti of ATL and UTD and then just repeat it. It's
why
like,
did you not just get one of the many street artists in Atlanta to actually do this? This looks like a county fair airbrush shirt slapped on a basic pull up county fair airbrush t-shirt, Tim. The fucking little stars on that thing. Pull it up. Show me county fair airbrush t-shirts.
Hold on.
For
those of you that are listening to us, we are at minute, what is this, like 41. Yeah, 41 is where it would have started on YouTube if you wanted to like do some sort of sync up. All right, I'm doing a Google image search for county fair. Oh, man. Yeah, or just like spring break t-shirts from Myrtle Beach.
Look at that's that. Very... The dude doing the little the masks. No, go back. Even there you go, down at the bottom where you're at, over to the left, bottom left. Yeah, right there. Now pull up that fucking thing that you just had up.
Oh my god.
I mean, no, toggle back. I'm not feeling this, dude. I'm not feeling this.
Yeah, somebody typed in ChatGPT, they're like, in the style of county fair airbrush artist, give me Atlanta United kit.
You can't do it.
Like, how cool would a Big Mouth Greg Mike jersey be?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's super disappointing.
Oh my god. There's so many better options.
I'm sorry, the Colonel.
Can't be real. That can't be real.
Yeah. No, it's real. I think it's confirmed by Doug and somebody else.
Oh, somebody. That's worse. That's worse than wavy bacon. I'm sorry, Colonel. I want you to wear it. I want you to love it. I want you to live your life. Oh,
yeah. Rob Usry, I think, puts it very well on Twitter. He said, I try to be as fair and honest as possible with this kit release or with these kit releases, but I'm just not seeing it here. It's a good idea, but poor execution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So to go back to like the impact, money impact, Manuel joining us in the trap said he just a big time in terms of like the impact of players. He said he subscribed to Apple TV just to see the matches now. So
yeah,
there's like a lasting impact. I'll be interested to see if the Saudi league collapses and that pipeline starts to kind of come back. I mean, we're paying for it
again. I need to see it again. I can't believe this is real.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I've not been on online.
I've been mad online for the past like week. So transfer shit.
It's so bad, man.
So the A or no, the U. Yeah. The U looks like is it Ulu knife?
It looks like a Delta sign from like a fraternity or something.
Nah, dude, it's an Ulu knife. It's one of these. It's like traditional, I think, indigenous cooking. You have this cutting board with a bowl in the middle of it, and it's almost like a knife, mortar, pestle type deal. Oh. And then I'll go back to this, and you see the little Ulu knife that's right there. It's an Ulu knife with a little like a sparkle, a ting.
Dude.
Yeah, it's not fun.
I don't.
This is like the shit I would do on my notebook and be ashamed of if somebody saw it.
It's one step away from the little S sign, like three line up.
Dude,
I'd rather have a kit with that on it, to be honest. I'd rather have like a composition notebook kit that's the black and white splotches, but then it's just peppered with like the little line S thing, like all of those little cliche things, like some big bubble text on there. I would rather than this.
I always thought it was like the Sonic S, but it's it's called the Super S, I guess.
Super S. Yeah.
Dude, tell me.
Super S kit? Like, how sweet would a Super S kit be, though, for real? Dude,
but for Seattle? Like, think about Seattle dude. Sounders. But then it might SS next to each other like that might not be good either.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, a little tight. Yeah. It's maybe Sporting KC. 1S. We'll keep 1S in there.
I love it.
Yeah. That'd be pretty solid. Man, how good was that? Like, I felt like so happy I could draw those because I couldn't draw shit for anything else.
That's the allure of it.
Yeah, it was that and SpongeBob. I learned how to draw SpongeBob at one point.
You're all about turtles now, man. You can draw turtles in your suit.
Dude, oh my God. Yes, I can. My main canvas being the side of bathtubs is where, and my main medium being bath crayons. I want to know, here's a poll. How do you pronounce crayon? Crayon. How do you pronounce that? How do you pronounce it, Kevin?
Crayon.
Crayon. See, I'm Crayon. I'm Team Crayon. Like it's Cran. Yeah.
No. You skipped over like three letters in there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Stacy's Team Crayon too, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think so. That sounds right.
I feel like it's a Midwest or like Northern thing or something. I don't know. I obviously picked it up from my parents. As long as you're not Team Crown.
Crown.
A crown.
That's, crown.
That's how you know you grew up in the deep south is crown. when you knew people who pronounced crayon or crayon crown.
Yeah. Crayon. Yeah. That's what Brittany S says too.
Crayon. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You want to see that kit one more time?
No, I'm done with it. I'm so done.
That is 100% an Ulu knife. Oh, God.
I'm so done, man. Somebody will find a way to do it the right way, though. Somebody will look great in it, and they'll, like, it's just not going to be something that I can wear. That's for
sure. I do think it is super cool that Goody Mob was the one that leaked it, because it's hold on, if I could just share. I'll share the Twitter stream that I have up right now that I found the image on.
I like the idea. I really do like the concept of it, for sure.
No, me too. Yeah.
I just wish it was better executed. It's almost like yearbook art.
It is. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's inside of or on the... It's for the people who used brown grocery bags to wrap their textbooks in high school. It's what you drew on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Click on that picture that Rob Usery posted. Because it looks a little bit better not zoomed in. No, the other one.
I was going to say, this is the same picture. This one?
Yeah. It didn't look as bad, like all of them kind of standing there wearing it.
Like, but why?
But still, like, there's just the seams on it and the way that it, like, trying to make that text into a pattern and,
But why is the crest still black and white? Like, yeah. why wouldn't you add some treatment to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man. The back's just all black, but then there's still lettering on the sleeves, I guess. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very interesting.
Yeah, all right. That's not my favorite.
The idea is the execution. Brilliant.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, me either.
I don't have anything else.
I don't think I've got anything else.
Just have to.
Yeah, I mean, it'll just be outro music tonight. Yeah. Nothing left for tonight. We appreciate all of you for hanging out with us each and every week. We're officially back into the swing of things now that we've got a game coming up this weekend and more to follow, going down the home stretch of the season with 10 games left, and hopefully Atlanta finds a way to sneak into the playoffs and wins the damn thing. You can follow along with us each and every week. You can find us on X at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled being the number 4. You can find us. Where else can they find you, Tim?
On OnlyFans at Tim Herb. Yeah.
Yep. Same here.
No, on Instagram. You can find me.
You can actually find me on OnlyFans at Tim Herb. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We'll be back next week. As always, be home before dark.
See you guys.
From Friday night football to the county fair, from picnics in the park to hometown parades, from big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.